video podcast by the band Tuke. And brought to you by Black Frog Media. We chat with the best in the music industry from yesterday and today with a focus on the good old days of Canadian rock. This episode originally streamed live on Tuesday, November 17th, 2020 on Facebook Live. Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Brent, Shane, Corey, and Darren.
We're going live.
Ooh. Look at my graphic. Look at my graphic.
Yeah.
I have the thing too, man.
Where's my coaster, Todd?
It's a coaster, yes.
That's amazing.
I can put my drink upon it.
You drink upon it.
Upon it.
No coffee today, guys? Who's drinking coffee?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I've been up for hours. Well, I went back down. Now I'm up. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Is that from Drumheller or something? What is it?
Where's my cup from?
Where's it from?
Come on.
It's got, what does that say?
Scotty?
Regina?
Hell yeah.
Regina, Saskatchewan? Is that Scotty? The Tyrannosaurus they found there?
That's a good looking cup too, right?
It is.
Okay. Natural Museum.
Funny you should enter the show because you guys are always showing your cups. New coaster. I guess Fitzy distributed those when he was down and came and saw you guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we'll have some of those up. Everybody's been saying because Corey and I actually good to see you guys again. We haven't been on in what? This is
2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Corey and I were chatting a little bit without you guys last week. The week before was Election Day.
It was way better.
I mean, the election's still going on from what I understand. Yeah, exactly. Corey and I were fantastic. You know, we spent all week debating whether or not we'd bring you guys back.
Some of those up, everybody's been saying.
What was that?
That was our Tuke feed coming through my phone.
Oh.
But the best part is it's always delayed, so I get to...
Yeah.
It should be on a 5-second delay in case somebody says something really offside.
You know? No, that's, yeah, exactly. Well, that's the best part. That's what makes this show the best because it's live and anything goes. So further to that, I guess after we were talking last week, Corey, people saying, oh, yeah, when are we going to get some new merch items up? Because we had talked about them. Being from Canada, I forgot that your Thanksgiving is what, this week?
Yes.
Okay, so.
No, it's next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought that it would make sense to wait until Black Friday, but given the fact that the shipping and all that's going to be a bit of a nightmare, we're going to get those up right away. So look for those this week. And we got some new stuff. So I don't know if you guys caught any of the show last week. Todd, I know you were chiming in from, you know, wherever you were working. But check out these. We got some new ones we were talking last week. So you can use these as keychains or Christmas ornaments, whatever you want to do. Oh, yeah. Check that out.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And then everybody saw this one last week. Yeah. So we got those. We got a bunch of new hats, some new cool stuff. So
I think everybody could buy 100 of those and just only put those on your Christmas tree this year.
I like that.
That's right. If you are going to order 100, please order in advance.
The hot ticket item is the Shane Gallus foot massage, though. I don't know if you know that.
He
comes to your house, pulls in, puts on some nice music.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you tuned in for the whole show last week, Todd, but we have a whole shipment of masks that were requested to be christened in by your... I guess you didn't catch that part of the show.
No.
You don't even watch your show when you're out there. Oh, yeah.
And then people pay extra for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to imagine.
Right.
Yeah, somebody say exactly. We're renegotiating the contracts. This was like Coach's Corner. I guess all three of these guys were on contract with Pete last week. So
exactly.
We don't want to make our guests wait too long, but we didn't get around to talking about this last week, and it was, I guess, it makes more sense to do it because you guys are all here. Obviously, Canadian, we love talking about all things Canada, and we lost one of the greatest Canadians, over a week ago now, Alex Trebek. So
that's right.
We didn't get a chance to talk about that. So I thought it would be fun for us to do a little something in his memory today and his honor. Yeah. Give me a second. So hang tight and we'll hang tight, guys. We'll be right back. One sec. We're going to do a little intro.
Okay.
Okay, and you, you're back.
Oh, Jesus.
As YouTube shuts us down.
No, no. Oh, I learned a lot from Kim Mitchell. I am not going down that road again. I actually, no, we changed the audio, and that's licensed for YouTube, so we can use it.
Okay.
So, we're
not going to do the whole board here because we just want to have a little bit of fun. So
okay.
I think what we're going to go, and we'll just start because, Corey, you're the returning champion since you're the only guy that was here last week. So we're gonna get you to go with your question first. What would you like?
I'll take name the province for 100.
Name the province for 100.
Alex. Is
it a daily double?
Oh, come on.
This province is home to the nation's federal government building.
What's your answer?
What is form of a Ottawa? Question?
That's not a province.
Yeah. See?
That's what I thought too, though. I was like, okay.
Darren's a tough host. Okay. I like it. I'm like, I'm sorry, we can't accept that.
Says province, and that's the thing, because that's, you know.
Right.
We're gonna go to you, Todd. What's your
I'm gonna take celebrities for 200.
To take the lead.
Singer star on YouTube, he was swoopy hair. I assume we're talking about Justin Bieber. Oh, sorry. In the form of a question, who is Justin Bieber, Darren?
Okay, we're going to let that go. Yes. And you're right. Todd for 200.
Yes. I'll take celebrities for 300.
Celebrities for 300.
Oh, okay. Who is Avril Lavigne, Darren?
Correct.
It's my board now. It's my board.
You know what? We're not gonna let you run it up because we just don't have the time for your you know, you're like Mark McGrath on that Rock and Roll Jeopardy. Just doesn't get anything wrong. We're gonna go to Shane now.
Animals for 300.
Animals for 300.
This animal can be found in the northernmost parts of Canada and shares the same name as the popular Marvel superhero who is also
Canadian. Yeah.
I believe it's. I don't know.
I know.
Everybody knows. Hard. Everybody else is except Shane.
I thought it was going to be real easy because I thought I'd know animals, but.
Well, you went for 300.
I don't. Right. Marvel superhero, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Think about sideburns.
Tick. Tick. Sideburns. Oh, we're gonna have to go. Oh.
What is a worry?
Yeah.
That is tough. That's trickier than you think.
Well, you know, this isn't a giveaway board.
No, Brent, it's not a giveaway.
We're going to you.
Hate you guys.
I definitely have to go hockey.
I was going
to
say, you guys dodged it all the way.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not easy. Headlining trade between these two teams saw Wayne Gretzky shipped south of the Canadian border. Okay, well.
Who is the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings?
Woohoo! Woohoo! Awesome. Good stuff.
Hey, I cried that day. Anybody else?
I think everybody in Canada cried. So we got time for a few more. Brent, you're running the board. Go, what's one more?
Let's try food for 300.
Okay.
Food for 300.
Poutine.
Yeah.
shredded coconut, cocoa powder, graham wafer crumbs, shredded coconut, vanilla custard powder, semi-sweet chocolate chips, butter. Oh, jeez. Is that a Nanaimo? What is a Nanaimo bar?
Oh!
Yes!
Come on.
Okay.
That's a special Canadian, you know, treat. So just in case anyone's going, what the heck is a Nanaimo bar? It's like a Canadian delicacy.
Yeah, but like you said, extra points if you can tell us why it's named a Nanaimo bar.
I'm going to assume something on the province, you know, the Vancouver Island has something to do with it. The city of Nanaimo.
That would probably be correct. Okay, we got time for one more. This is a group question. We're going to go hockey for 500.
Okay.
And, here we go.
In the gold medal men's ice hockey game of the 2010 Olympics, this
Jerome McGinley, motherfuckers.
But in the form of a question,
who is Jerome McGinley?
Oh, good one, Shane.
Redeems himself for the Wolverine.
From the Calgary Flames, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's from Alberta, right?
Yeah, Shane? Edmonton, yep.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, Sherwood Park.
We didn't do any landmarks.
Well, you know what? We're going to talk about next week because
we're doing this.
Yeah, I know this could be a whole show, but we just thought, you know, it'd be fun in honor of, you know, Alex and the fact that, you know, we didn't talk about him last week. Look at Shane, you know, way to go out on a high note, buddy. Go out on a
game high face. He's all game face.
It's so funny that I think a lot of people still didn't know he was Canadian, right?
Alex is Canadian.
Yeah. And he's been in LA for what, like a long time, right? 30 years or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You're right. As you know, what honestly, as a Canadian, we just assume that everybody knows that. But you're right. I guess you know there are a lot of things that this show is good for, and one of them is teaching people around the world who's Canadian.
Exactly, and no one's quicker to show you who's Canadian than another Canadian.
That's right, and we got a bunch of them here. So here we go.
Really quick before we bring our guest on. Just want to announce that December 8th will be the release.
Well, hang on here because we talked about talking later about this. So, you know, maybe we should not, you know, get everybody all up.
I'll take that back then. It's a tough one.
Hang on. Yeah. We're going back in time.
Oh, no.
Back in time.
We can only go back in time a few seconds, though.
Okay, so let's edit that out live.
I don't know what Corey was talking about.
No,
hey, Corey, turn your mic up, Corey.
Turn my mic up?
Yep.
Maybe it's a good thing it was turned down.
There you go.
We have the best mic, but we just need it louder, yeah.
Hang on a second.
Yes, Corey, tell us. Better?
See.
Better?
Yeah, it seems all right.
That seems too much?
No.
Still a little low.
Still low.
Check one, two.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I'm going to be the loudest.
Do you want somebody to come over and teach you how to use that stuff?
Shut up. He's waiting. He's not used to waiting.
Okay, well, without further ado, Shane, why don't you take the lead on this one and introduce this week's guest?
So super excited about today's guest, hailing from Tokyo, Japan, one of the premier guitar players in the entire world.
Absolutely.
You may have seen him on Jimmy Kimmel Live as the house guitar player for Cleto and Cletons. I think he's been on that gig for about 18 years or so, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
Not only is he an amazing guitar player, but a solo artist, songwriter. He has an awesome band called the Buzz Wizards. And I'm proud to call him my friend. Welcome from Studio City, California, Mr. Toshi Yanagi.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him up in the guest corner.
Hey, Toshi. Welcome.
Hi, Toshi.
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Check out his rock and roll backdrop.
I know. That's coolest. Awesome. You got the coolest one, yo. All I got is a Stormtrooper and a Michael Jackson hat and an Eddie Van Halen guitar. But
that's great.
I'm trying. Yeah. Looks like you're living in a vintage guitar shop, which I think is the best place to live.
Well, might as well just use it for the videos and all that stuff.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Until security chases you out of there. Sir, you can't be filming your talking here.
Right.
Amazing. Hey, so what's the journey like for a young kid from Japan to America? I mean, we're from Canada, so it's just like, you know, you cross a border and you're into America. But getting all the way to a musical career across the pond, as it were, I'm sure it's a long, long story. But I mean, what brought you here initially?
Well. Music, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, my ultimate two heroes are Eddie Van Halen, and Steve Lukather.
Right.
So, where to go? Los Angeles.
Sure.
I was in a band with a American high school in Tokyo. There was a guy who was, you know, I was playing with, and one of the guy had a brochure of Musicians Institute.
Sure.
Had Alan Holdsworth and Eddie, you know, playing together on the stage. So, shit, I have to go here. You know, I have to cut to this. So that's the whole you know, idea that I wanted to come to LA. So.
When was that?
Shane, you went to MIT as well, right?
Yeah. I did, yeah. It was a few years after Toshi, but I'm interested because I don't even know this part of the story. I would love to be able to go back even before that. Like when you first were introduced, because in Japan in the 70s, I can imagine you were hearing maybe some pop radio that was maybe Western, but I imagine a lot of it was like Japanese Enka kind of
music. Or Japanese, how do you say? Like J-pop at the time.
Right.
So
listening, what would that be comparable to in North America?
Well,
pop music, I guess. Yeah.
Just regular, just pop? Like, is that?
Yeah.
It's their own kind of pop music, but it's...
Lots of chords.
A little bit of...
Really? Is there a lot of...
Yeah, there's a lot of harmony and stuff going on, yeah.
Disc-oriented or...
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
And a lot of maybe classical sort of chord progressions, right? Not so blues progression, right? And the melodies are very, a lot of classical sort of melodies, right? Like very, a lot of information in the melody. But how, what was it? Was there a point, Toshi, where you're you heard... Like some rock music? Like, was it
deep? My dad gave me a mono cassette recorder. And I think I used to listen to American Navy radio station in Japan, you know? It's called FEN. So they...
Yokosuka? Like from the Yokosuka base?
Yeah, Yokosuka base, I think.
Just south of Tokyo a little ways. Yeah. Army base.
I even heard a Wolfman Jack kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
So I was listening, exposed to those rock music, but didn't know who it was. Turned out to be like a Deep Purple, Zeppelin, Allman Brothers, Eagles, you know, around that era of music. I used to tape it, you know.
On the mono cassette player.
Easy for him to say.
You froze there for a second.
Introduce to...
That's great, though,
Was it just like a conscious decision, like one day where, okay, I love this Western music guitar playing, I want to go to America?
Then I heard Eddie and Luke in the same night.
Oh, wow.
On the radio program. And what is this music? And at that point, I want to play guitar. And I guess the first, I think 11th grade, I wanted to, that's the time that I decided.
Because you were actually playing violin before that. Fist bump to violin players.
And, yes.
And all four of them chimed in there.
At a very high level, right? I mean, you were in,
shooting
Philharmonic kind of symphony stuff, right?
Wow.
I was in the Tokyo Junior Philharmonic, from elementary through university students, you know, organized orchestra. But every year, those 9-year-old kid come in, shred, you know.
Wow.
I can't compete with that, you know. So I said, no. Then really rules are like a little too strict for me. And just one day I had an audition for European tour or whatever, and I didn't really practice. And the conductor was the gay woman.
Okay.
And
okay.
She said, hey, you know, you call me out. And you got to be practicing, blah, 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 you know, to get to this tour. And I said, okay, this is it. Here. I quit.
Oh, wow.
Bye. And I just threw him off from the door, and that was it.
Okay. That's the most rock and roll story. Just hand over your violin, pick up a strat, and just like shred.
Yeah.
How quickly did you pick up when you get a guitar, did you have like something decent right away, or How did it, was it an acoustic? How, what
remember,
did you
remember Greco?
Yeah.
Or Aria Pro or whatever, you know, and I used to have that, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I couldn't really afford the real Gibson or Fender, so
none of us could.
Those Greco guitars are actually kind of sought after as
they are.
Yeah, and I think they turned into like Fujigen or something, which I have a Fujigen guitar behind me. Is that true?
Wow.
I don't know if it turned into, but maybe they made
something to do with it. I can't remember exactly the story.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good guitar, you know?
Yeah, Greco did some pretty interesting like knockoff guitars, like some pretty convincing like Les Pauls and stuff like that. I think they might have gotten in trouble for that at some point, but who knows?
Goldsmith's model or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How quickly are you playing with other guys in bands making music? I mean, how are there other guys in Japan like playing rock and roll as well when you were a kid?
Yeah. We used to do a cover of, you know, Halen or Night Ranger or.
Nice.
Just doing the high school parties and stuff like that, you know?
Great.
It's interesting to point out. I know because I've been there. You can't just, like in Canada, for instance, when we were growing up playing, we would usually designate one of the guys in the band their basement in their house.
Okay. And,
or the garage, but usually it was the basement because it was too cold out a lot of the time. So one of us in the band, we would host sort of, but we would have the jam play.
Mm-hmm.
But in Japan, that's impossible because everybody's living so close together. So you would have to go to like a rehearsal studio.
Yeah,
right?
Rental studio that they call. Yeah.
So they had the same kind of thing back in the early 80s, right?
Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
In the early 80s. So what it is, it's basically like could be an office building or whatever. You go in and they have all these sort of small little cubicle rooms.
Yeah.
And you'll go in and every room will be outfitted with like a PA system, a drum, a guitar,
a bass,
little vocal PA. And sometimes I even have like, now they have like, you know, means to like a GoPro or you can record it.
Wow.
You would have to designate a time, right? This is way
Like a 2 hours internet from.
You say, okay, on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we're going to meet and rehearse and we're going to learn these songs, right?
Yeah. Or you learn song at home and you go there and just practice, you know.
Okay.
Ensemble. I used to hate the amps there, though. Jazz chorus. And Fender Twin Reverb that doesn't distort, you know. Man, I used to hate it. Loud.
You got to bring a tube screamer for that.
Yeah.
Or something,
So, Shane, how did you guys meet? Did you meet when you were playing over in Japan, or did you guys meet in L.A.?
I met Toshi years ago. Probably I remember meeting him at the Baked Potato, and then I met you at I think there's a Clyde Stubblefield jam or something. It was Toshi, and I think Toss. Remember, this is a long time ago. Like the Dragonfly, there was a jam night. Anyway, years ago.
Dragonfly, really?
Maybe not the Dragonfly, but one of those sort of nights, and it was a funk night, and all the dudes were there. A lot of dudes were there.
Okay.
Well, wait, back up. When did you, Toshi, get to L.A., and when did you get to L.A., Shane?
I came to L.A. 86.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
And you were in San Francisco prior to that, right?
Yeah, right.
So
just turned 19.
Okay, so why San Francisco first?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. San Francisco first, and I spent a year and a half there and came here. So I was 20 then here when I got here, yeah.
Why did you go to San Francisco first?
Because a friend of mine knew there was one English language school. Uh-huh.
You knew no English at all when you came over, right?
Nope.
Wow.
Hello, I'm hungry. That's it.
Like, it's one thing.
I'm hungry.
California. I thought it was a big deal.
You didn't know in the U.S.
When I was 19, I left my small town, and I thought it was a big deal to go to Calgary, which is an hour away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. We all speak the same language. We're all basically the same, you know, central Albertans. But going from Japan to California, I mean, that's insane. Well, you don't even know the language at all. I mean, that's,
What am I thinking? Yeah.
Well, it's clearly worked out for you. I think you did the right thing. Yeah.
Your English is fantastic. It's way better than any of our Japanese, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well,
Shane, can you have a, like, Tochi, is Shane's Japanese pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Shane's Japanese.
Really?
It's not. I mean, very
can communicate, though.
There you go. That's the important. Can you say, I'm hungry and... What was the other thing you
said? Hi, I'm hungry in Japanese.
In Japanese.
Yeah, you can.
Let's hear
it. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
I can say I'm full. Ippai desu.
I mean, I'm sure Corey can say
there you go.
But, I mean, to
hang on, don't dodge the question, Shane. Say hi, I'm hungry in Japanese.
Konnichiwa, Toshi-san.
There you go.
And is that right?
That's awesome.
Okay, there you go.
Hanahete desu.
Only because that's a slang. Slang way to say hungry.
Oh, okay. Wow. There you go.
A lot of Japanese girlfriends. Yes.
Ah, of course. Mm. Yes.
We'll teach them a word before the end of the day. Maybe.
Yeah, I like it.
That's not...
It'll be like Pee-wee's Playhouse where you say the magic word and everybody starts screaming.
Ah! Yeah.
I know skibé.
What'd you say?
Skibé? Doesn't that mean
skibé?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means like pervert or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty minded.
That's a good word.
Because the Japanese don't really have swear words. So that's kind of like as bad as it gets, right, Toshi?
Yeah. Skebe or like a baka. That's full.
Okay. It shows you how honorable the Japanese are that they don't really have swear words.
I can appreciate that. That's great. Yeah.
So Toshi, you get to San Francisco.
Yeah.
You're going to this English kind of school?
English language school for 6 months.
Wow. Okay.
So now you kind of get your bearings, right, with the language just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Yeah. But mostly, I used to live in this place called Resident Club. Like a hotel, but monthly or weekly monthly, or all the tourists or the like old people that don't have a family lives there with the two meals.
Oh, wow.
So you meet you know different you know people there and become friends, and I ended up you know renting a different house with those guys, and that's how I learned a little bit more English, you know. Just to have
Yeah.
Now, did you have like kind of like student loans or anything from Japan or?
Well, my parents, it's maybe good for them to, or just to support me until I get out to college.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they support me for like, you know, first how many years. Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah,
but it's such a bold thing.
At the time, $1 is 280 yen.
Wow! Oh wow!
Oh, so now it's like at 120 or something, right? So yeah, they had a hard time.
It's expensive.
I've always been curious about that. So what is the translation now? Like, what would a U.S. dollar to yen be now?
120 yen for a dollar.
Oh,
used
okay,
to be 280, but 5 years before I came, it was a 380 yen per dollar. You know, that's a
wow.
So that's stronger than the Canadian dollar. We're at like about 130.
It's dropped a lot. The yen has dropped. Well, the American dollar's dropped a lot.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. I don't know if it has anything to do with the vaccine, but the Canadian dollar's got stronger too. Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
That's such a bold thing,
though, isn't it? The idea, I mean, like Shane said, the idea of moving from Canada to the United States, even though we speak the same language and all that kind of stuff, it's still terribly imposing to imagine. So I can't imagine having come from, you know, and not speaking language. It really says something about your resourcefulness and drive to chase it down. By that point, what does it entail to go to MIT? You're clearly already a very decent guitar player before you even get there, I assume.
But, you know, I didn't know any theory. Still don't.
Right.
And also the, you know, a lot of the techniques or whatever. Yeah, you didn't know. And I just wanted to meet musicians, people.
Sure, yeah.
So this, in that school, I met a lot of priceless friends. You know, I'm really glad I went there, you know.
In 1986, 86 is like the Sunset Strip is still like on fire in 86 for sure.
Hair metal and the beginning of, I think, the Guns N' Roses with the Graham, second Graham rock kind of a scene.
Yeah,
it was the glam metal, really pushing, then.
Totally,
Yeah. Right, the Guns N' Roses, the...
Right. You
know, all that stuff,
Did you have big hair? Toshi, did you have big hair?
I used to have curly hair like this until...
Wow. We all had big hair.
I wasn't into rock at all. Somewhere, when I get to MI, I went to a little bit of a fusion road... You know, jazz fusion road, and I didn't really appreciate rock and roll. So, yeah, but I still had a hair.
Everybody did back then, fusion or not. Everybody had a lot of hair. Yeah.
Kenny G
had a lot of hair. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
And then, so you did the 1 year in MI, and then
actually, a year and a half or 2 years, I believe.
Oh, really?
Then I start. Kind of doing those private counseling teaching.
Okay, great. Did a bit of that too.
But at the time, student top of the student department, I was, you know, giving the student a legit score that I thought, you know, 70 or, you know, 1.65 or 80, whatever. But head of the student department call me out and just like, hey, Tosh, just take it easy. Just give it 95 or, you know.
Push him through, yeah.
I said, what, really? I was young, green. I got mad and I can't do this. So then I left and became a freelance guitar player.
And then, so at that point, you started to do a lot of sessions and met Lucifer and that whole scene.
It's hard, man. Like... Were you hard in the beginning? I just started, really, you know, with a 20, 30, 50 bucks gig and, you know, started meeting people. But I met Cecilia Noyle and the Wild Clams, you know, Finn?
Yeah.
At the big table. And they needed a guitar player. So I said, hey, I'll do it. You know, then I gave them a demo tape and Tris, you know, Tristan Bowden, the drummer. Yep.
Chicago.
He gave me a chance in Cecilia. You know, why don't you come jam with us? Or, you know, this is the gig day. Learn this song, like 13, you know, 14 songs.
Right.
That was the start of my career, actually. All the Cleetones from Kimmel Band met in that band.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a good segue, because a lot of people tuning in now, whether you read the, you know, the description when we were advertising, you know, who's going to be on this week, you are currently the guitar player for Jimmy Kimmel's house band. So take us up to that. How did that come about?
I think it's interesting. I think you just made the connection from the playing with these guys eventually leads to the Cleetones. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yes. Cecilia and the Wild Clams is it.
So you guys, you went in as a full band and kind of said, hey, we want to take over the house band position, or was it just a coincidence?
No, actually, make a long story short. Cleto, I was on a different show before. Do you guys know Wayne Brady?
Yeah, of course.
Let's make a deal. Brady
what?
He's on Let's Make a Deal now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Wayne Brady, actually, from Wayne Brady, I was working for Canadian comedians.
Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, no. What a time to freeze. I want it.
Martin Short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had a talk show. I was in the Wayne Brady show. Then Cleto, our band leader, is the childhood friend of Jimmy Kimmel.
Las Vegas guys, right?
Yes, Las Vegas, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. He got, that, and he called me and Jeff Babko, hey, I got this gig, but I never done this before, so can you guys hop on and help me, But three of us had a band before this, cool. TV show, and we're like brothers, and let's help the brother out. So we kind of made the decision to, from daytime to nighttime, but we didn't know which would stick, So that was right. Really gambled for us.
Sure.
But we made a right decision,
Yeah.
What does that entail in a TV show? Is there charts, or are you actually reading as you're playing, or is it more like you rehearse the stuff and know how the show is going to go that night, your segue music and that kind of thing?
Well, both ways. We do our own chart cheat sheet for mm-hmm. whatever we're gonna do that songs that night, or mm-hmm. or like half of it we can write songs.
Oh, okay, wow.
It's a convenient for both of us, like networks don't have to pay the,
royalty, licensing,
Yeah, licensing, and mm-hmm. we get keep the writer share. So
nice.
Yeah, so our musical director is, not good, great like that, just share with everybody.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, cool. But mm-hmm. sometime like a guest come over, they need the band, like we support them, and
right.
sometimes they provide us a chart.
Right.
So you have to read on that point, but mostly like a cheat sheet, and for the original songs like we've been doing for like 18 years. So
that's great.
You don't have to,
this ties into a good question. Actually, Marlene is watching live right now, and she was going to ask something that I was going to ask as well. Obviously, in the last few years, there's been a couple of really famous performances on the show. One of them, of course, being Van Halen when they did the outdoor live show. Did you get a chance to meet Eddie and chat with him? Or
man, so he's the ultimate hero of mine. And when I got so excited when they're here, 2015, right? Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
After the sound check, they came up to the side of the stage and, a house band just came in to just, shake hand and talk a little bit of each one of them. And I just had a starstruck, and I said, thank you.
Thank you,
and you're the one because I'm here. Whatever, I forgot what I said, but he said, "Yeah, of course, whatever." Yeah.
That's so awesome.
You already did some work with Dave Lee Roth though prior to that, right?
After that.
Oh, it was after that. Okay.
Wow. It was like a 2017 and 2018. Remember Robert Shapiro, the lawyer?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Jim Hammer.
His son OD of some drugs, and he started some kind of a foundation of charity event.
Okay.
For the drugs thing, and Diamond Dave called our show and like, hey, I want Cleeton to be our my backup band. So if it,
wow.
So.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
I bet. Yeah, that'd be a blast. Now, are you doing everything? Are you doing like Van Halen stuff and like his big band type stuff?
A little bit of David's stuff, yeah.
Sure, yeah. That'd be a blast.
But still great, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So here's a question for the group, actually, because I meant to bring this up earlier. Obviously, we're all aware of Wolfie's song that came out in the video that obviously dedicated to his dad. What do you get? What's your take on that? Everybody
loved it.
It's heartbreaking. It's really tough. I mean, it's actually, technically there was two songs. There's a There's another song that's the name escapes me at the moment, but it's really, really great. It's more like
a, I just a heard rock a series. Song. Really good song.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, you got to take into account that Wolfie's playing and singing every single thing on the recording you're hearing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty mind blowing. It's really great singing.
Great voice.
And,
so well, you guys have a personal connection to that as well through Frank. So you're saying that is he just doing the live stuff with them, or was that all done?
I guess whenever they get around to doing the live stuff, or whenever any of us get around to doing the live stuff, Frank is a part of Mammoth WVH. So that's pretty exciting for. I mean, they've been really close for a long time.
Yeah,
those young kids, they get to hang out together, they rock and roll. But yeah, it's pretty dope. Speaking of playing live, are you guys playing in any sort of, I haven't really been, it's just this weird time how it's the longest / shortest year of my life. But when Jimmy's taping now, are you still like showing up and doing your job? Like when did you guys get to go back to work kind of thing?
So I told you guys earlier, but we've been making a video of us playing rooftop of Jimmy Kimmel studio, and they've been inserting those video between segments, you know.
Great.
So they have us working like that. It's really nice of them, you know.
For sure.
And plus, absolutely. Also, we write walk on music when the guest comes on, you know, the music behind it. We write and send it in, you know. They've been using that, so. Yeah, I don't know when exactly we're going to be going back, but I'm hearing the beginning of the year. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. So it's a pretty full day being the band is a pretty full day then with rehearsals, with every, I mean, on normal, when things are normal, I assume you're in there. Yeah, like what time do you start your day when you go to
the studio? We go in there like about 11, a little before 11, and we attend Jimmy's rehearsal from 11 to 12. Then our rehearsal, you know, 12 to how long, you know, that we need rehearse. And sometimes we need to do music for a maybe comedy bits or rehearse with a guest band. We stay there. Or if we don't have it, we can, you know, go outside from the studio and do something else and come back. Run 4, change, and showtime from 5 to 6. So
11 till
sometimes. Yeah.
So 11 till 6-7 o'clock is your day, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Five something six like 5 days a week. 5 days a week.
Yeah, 5 days. Oh, 4 or 5 days. Yes.
So it's a pretty involved gig. Like you kind of think like, oh, you just show up, play some music. It's like, no, dude, it's like it's full on. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever went to the show. I'm sure you've been to other shows, but yeah, I mean, it runs like a clock and you guys have played on it.
Yeah.
It's just like bang, 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 bang. I'm like watching Toshi. Like the last time I came to see it, I was like, kind of watching just to see, okay, like what's, I couldn't even tell where the cues were coming to start or anything. It was just like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
I'm watching everybody.
Yeah, we're on in the air and just we are talking.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hey, technology wise, and Corey, I know you've been on, you know, Kelly Clarkson's show a lot lately. Is there real amps, or are you using digital stuff on the shows?
You can use digital stuff, but I'm kind of old school, so I have an amp right behind me. They mic me, and we can't really turn up that loud, but you know. Still pretty good amount.
What about on the rooftop?
Yeah, actually, rooftop videos are all kind of miming it because on that day, like in AM, we go in there in the lobby. We record the 30. We record 30 songs, then we mime it. You know, in the rooftop.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Giving away all the trade secrets here.
Yeah.
I love it. No, I'm fascinated by how full time the gig is. Like how, you know, you need to kind of have your game together. You can't just be like the kind of slacker musician guy. It's like, no, you're like showing up from 11 till 7 every day.
Yeah.
It's like a real.
You know, I want to point out too, not only does Toshi do that gig. He does a ton of gigs at night. Like I've done a lot of the gigs with Toshi at the Baked Potato, and he'll show up and he's already put in a full day, and I'm just coming. we'll play till whatever one sometimes at the Spud. And then he's got it, you know, you're up again with the kids early in the morning. It's you.
Yeah, I used to do the driving. So like 6:30, you wake up every day, then you go to school, then going to Kimmel. You know how LA traffics are.
Bumper
in the morning. So like,
yeah, of course.
But you gotta do what you gotta do, you know. So
exactly,
you just don't want to do just the TV show. You want to do a lot more thing to keep yourself going.
You donate enough stars to the cause, and we'll
never know.
We have a Yamaha dealer.
Any of you guys use any gear? If so,
I have a Yamaha snowmobile. Is that worth it?
Yeah. How often?
I mean, the Yamaha acoustic guitars.
There you go, the acoustic guitars.
Those are great.
Corey's got a couple of acoustics too. Yeah, right there. Look,
Corey, didn't you just do a commercial for Yamaha not too long ago?
Yeah, and I'm actually doing another one. I'm working on a new song for one. As soon as we get off this today, I'll be writing a new song for another commercial.
Cool, that's awesome.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
I shouldn't say they merged, but Yamaha bought Line 6. I was already really close with the Line 6 guys. And so now the Line 6 headquarters is actually the Yamaha headquarters. And everybody's sort of, you know, they all got the Yamaha emails now instead of the Line 6 emails. So,
Is it branded as the Line 6 gear, or is that going to be?
No, the Line 6 will still be its own brand, but it's just under the umbrella of Yamaha. And
right,
all those guys there are just super, super nice. And it's such a great company. It's the biggest music company in the world.
It really is. Yeah, it's really far reaching.
They have every instrument, well, not just instruments, but literally such. If you were a Yamaha endorser, you could be drums, guitars, trumpet, you know, you name it, pianos,
violin, cello,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. Yeah.
But I was disappointed to find out that they do not correlate with the snowmobiles and that kind of motorcycles. Yeah, you know, if you have it. If you have a deal, you can't get a motorbike, or it's a different company.
No. Oh.
Yeah, it's like,
I used to have a YZ80 as a little kid, dirt bike.
YZ. Hmm. You see that? YZ. YZ. That's Canadian.
Yeah. Right. Toshi, yeah. Z or Z80.
What?
Toshi, what do you say, Z or Z?
Of course he says Z.
Zetto.
Okay, yeah. Zetto. Japanese.
Yeah. His own. But you're right with the Yamaha, though, because in the orchestra world, I mean, Yamaha is like the go-to, right? For brass, they're like the leader, and you know, and all things that, you know, and in a lot of other areas. But you're right, I mean, you pull up, you know, next to a guy on a Harley and you're on a Yamaha, it's like I don't know, right? I
mean, those crotch rockets can go fast.
Before we get off topic here, I wanted to also mention, because we know all these wonderful things Toshi's done, but we haven't talked about his solo stuff.
No, we got to talk about that.
Writer. And recently I've been able to kind of get a little eye into his world and how much he actually writes and his own music and the Buzz Wizards also. We should talk about that. Tell us about the Buzz Wizards. How did that come about?
Well,
what a great name, Buzz Wizards.
Great band too, man. You got to see him.
A lot of Zeds in that name.
Four Zeds. I'll take four Zeds. Pat Sajak will have a heyday with the Buzz Wizard.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like everybody else, like I just wanted to try out my own stuff. And
sure. Yeah.
I guess I could go with my name, but I just didn't want to. I wasn't comfortable with a Japanese name.
Oh, well,
just kidding. But Buzz Wizard, I thought it was because the musician I play with, they're wizards, you know, like a Shane, you guys, and everybody's like, so it was kind of cool. And if whoever joins me, it's a wizard, you know, but Shane did it, and Steve Ferroni, the drummer, Ron Smith.
Okay,
Yeah, toss.
Those are all my favorite drummers.
Matt Lug, do you know?
Yeah, I love Matt Lug too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to throw something up on screen here to help you. And I found something, and it looks like I can't make out a single word on the screen here. But where would somebody find the info on this if they're looking for it?
Just come to my Facebook page or CD Baby has one.
What about your website?
Currently, it's kind of down, but that's why Facebook would be best way to.
How many records do you guys have out now?
Put out about 4, including live CD.
Yeah, you guys go check it out. It's great stuff.
Where was the live CD recorded?
Big Potato.
Oh, Big Potato! Cool. That's so nice. Cool. Yeah.
Everything great happens at the Big Potato. I used to see Steve Lukather all the time, Toshi, like in the, you know, late 90s. And I would be just, completely starstruck at all the A-list musicians that would be there. First time I saw Slash in person was at the Baked Potato. And I actually saw you play there, you know, years ago. And I ran into Shane. Actually, I remember one night seeing Shane at the Baked Potato. And I was like, because I remembered you, Shane, from back in the Canadian days. And I, you know, after you had been to MI. And I saw you at the Baked Potato. I was like, I think Shane is one of the greatest drummers I ever just saw in person. I seriously meant that one night. Like, you know, it was like a Tuesday night at the Potato. And Toshi, you know, like the Baked Potato is just such a, it's got so many great musical. It's a who's who, yeah. And it's just a little place. And you could go and just randomly be really inspired by, you know, going to the Baked Potato.
It's a good school for all of us.
Did you finally get to be pals with Lukather? Like you kind of.
So you guys... one night I was playing with Cecilia Noel, and I used to sit up on the front of the kind of the stage. Then here comes Luke, you know, I sit right in front of me, like. I was so fucking, my heart was going like this.
Yeah,
really?
And in between the song, I was like, I did show off like a little shred, riff, like blah, blah, blah. And he goes, none of that shit. None of that shit. Then we start playing and stuff. And I used to put my drinks on top of my head. Amp head, right? You know, right next to me. And then when I finish drinks, another drink comes right away, right? And it ain't happening all night. And who's keep buying me this drink? You know? Then I see Luke, and he's drinking the same thing. Hammering, you know, all night, and end of the night, like I was, you know, so drunk, and he was so fucking drunk. But he said, you know, he did this, and I kind of sat next to him, and he gave me his number.
Oh,
here,
wow.
If you have a problem, call me anytime.
Can we put that on the screen?
Yeah, what's that number? Yeah.
Yeah. Luke's such a great dude. Yeah. Lukather's an amazing dude.
Yeah.
And a funny cat. Yeah. Yeah. And a monster guitar player. Let's not forget that. I just saw him. Well, we saw him not that long ago with Ringo Starr, and it was pretty awesome to see. Yeah, it's pretty rad. That's great. Right. So 2021. You think January? You'll probably be back to some semblance of in the studio, like the regular. Where is the studio? It's I'm trying to think. We've been there a couple times. Oh, it's right on Hollywood.
Right front of the Kodak Theater.
Yeah, right.
Like a diagonal from Chinese Theater.
Yeah, that's right.
Right there.
Yeah. What a cool location to.
Such
a cool location to work at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That's it's great. So cool when you go to the show like as a guest.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone gets that treatment, but.
Well, your Hollywood High's out the back. The high school's out there. You can see it out the back.
You go into the green room and you can order a drink and just chill. And the guys will come in before. And it's such a rad hang.
Yeah.
The VIP treatment.
Yeah, you guys, when you guys are in the right situation, come to the show and we have a nice green room. We can drink how many you want, you know, whatever.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the budget for these guys isn't that much. I was going to ask, you know, you come from Japan all the way and, you know, you visit the, you know, obviously now reside in the U.S. Shane, when are you going to bring your friend up and do the tour of Canada? Have you been to Canada? Given the fact you're hanging with a bunch of Canadians today, have you ever had the chance to come up and visit the Great White North?
You saw in Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah.
Opening up for Neville Brothers. Or,
cool.
Yeah, something like that. Tour, yeah. So nice. I love Canada.
Yeah.
And great coffee and great food.
That's true. You know? That's true. Yeah, yeah.
There you go,
In the middle of January, it's pretty darn cold up.
That's true. It's getting cold already, I think.
Well, you know what? It's the middle of November right now, and it's still fairly mild. I mean, it's comparable to what it's been the last couple of years. It's been pretty good, so we're not complaining right now.
Where are you located?
Right smack in the middle right now. I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
It's above Minnesota, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the dead center of Canada on it from a geographical standpoint,
Center of North America.
Yeah.
That's true. That's pretty much true,
And you guys sometimes go to New York and film for like a week?
From Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah. Cool.
That must be fun. Just like, what, the whole show just goes
what
there?
A massive operation moving every single moving part. All those people,
We do a week show from a BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music. There's a theater there, and we just crew goes there like a week before and just, you know, making stage and
wow,
it's a great, it's massive.
That's impressive. Work.
But Jimmy's from that. Jimmy's born there, Brooklyn. That's why he wants to. You know.
Do you ever get back to Japan, and is there anything in particular you miss about Japan?
My food, my friends, and my friends and you know, food.
I like how you went food first on the first go around, and then all your friends tuning in right now are going, "What the hell, buddy?
People are so great."
Yeah,
Japan's awesome. Yeah,
and a lot of people probably don't know, but Tokyo play with a huge Japanese artist. I guess still kind of on and off now. Maybe Eikichi Ezawa.
You talking about the?
So you play Ezawa? With? Yeah, Ezawa.
Yeah, he's still roughly 72. Yeah,
he's a huge artist. I mean, they play Tokyo Dome. You know, big, huge venues. He would be the equivalent of like a, I don't know, like Bono or something. He's huge.
Japanese Elvis.
Japanese Elvis, there you go. I like that.
A little bit old, but he's not that old, right? He's, what, 70 maybe?
Well, he's 72.
72?
Yeah, he's 71, 72. He's
That's getting up there. Poor guy.
Jesus. What?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Sorry. But you know, the Shane, you you played artist Bees, right? Mm-hmm. Are they like in their late 50s or 60s or?
No, let me see. I think Inaba-san is like a couple of years older. She's probably like 57-ish.
57-ish,
59, somewhere in there. So late 50s.
Yeah. They're huge. Dude.
Yeah,
super huge.
Yeah.
Are you going back anytime soon?
With this situation, no. But my mom is still there, so I'd like to go there. Maybe, hopefully, like earlier part of next year. But depends.
She's in Tokyo still.
Yokohama.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah. Do you bring your your family over to Japan too? Like, if you bring your
We don't go there at the same time.
Okay.
They go there in the summertime because it's school breaks and stuff. So
yeah.
But I try to go there maybe winter or
sure. Yeah. When you have a break, yeah.
Do you have Toshi? Do you have like a green card, or how do you
I do.
How do you make that work?
I do green card. I used to be in the World Beat group. Okay. Back in like early 90s, and I was playing Japanese instrument called shamisen.
Oh wow.
So I said, hey, I'm Japanese, I'm the only one qualified to play with this instrument. So that's how I got the
you got an 01.
Right. Well done. Yeah.
You play shamisen. You got to teach me.
Yeah, I've done a couple commercials with it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Wow, that's cool.
I have one, but it's the mini one. It's like the Okinawa shamisen.
Oh, okay. So it's, okay.
You know, it's Toshi, do you have one there in the room with you?
Actually, no. I don't have it right here with me, but yeah.
I want to hear Sakura.
So what would you guys say was like the ultimate Canadian instrument that got you into the U.S.?
Play snowshoes.
Yeah,
I played pan flute on the green on the giant. But that was it. Was that show called Friendly Giant?
Friendly Giant, or the jug?
The jug. That seems.
So do we gotta let go, Toshi? Like, what's up? Are you working today? Shooting anything?
Well, I'm shooting our thing.
Yeah,
just a close up of my guitar, and also editing Todd's vocal.
I gotta tell everybody what's going on. So we're Toshi, myself, and Todd, and Corey McCormick are doing a little Van Halen sort of tribute co-video.
Co-video. That's
what's the band name, and how many Zeds are in it?
It's called just called Zed.
Yeah, it's called Zed.
I'm not sure when we'll get it finished up, but it's actually going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that sounds amazing. I'm thrilled that I knew that Toshi as a major EVH fan had to kind of let that shine. Yeah.
Everybody should go and listen to Toshi's version of Eruption on
Facebook. Oh. Yes.
Where do we go? On your Facebook page?
Facebook. Toshi Yanagi Music at Facebook. Yeah.
Great.
Come visit me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I knew Toshi could rip for years, but I never really saw him in that like just full blown Eddie shred kind of mode. It was always kind of funky fusion or
jazzish. Yeah, some fusion.
And then all of a sudden I remember seeing something of you, I think it's from the Whiskey. Like those jam nights or something. You're like tearing it up, doing all the Eddie stuff, like Unchained or something. And I was
great.
And then fast forward to when we started gigging, and then I started to find out, oh wow, he really does know the Eddie stuff, like for real. He's like a disciple.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad we get a chance. I mean, for yourself as a guitar player and the guy, the reason you picked up the guitar, for him to have passed away so recently, I mean, it seems to be an ongoing topic about Eddie. And then with Wolfie putting out his song yesterday, it's just nonstop. But yeah, it's a pretty heavy thing with Ed being gone. It's still trying to wrap our heads around it.
Back in April, Jimmy Kimmel's music department told us, hey, Eddie's in critical condition, so can you guys have maybe 2-3 songs in case, he passes? So I freaked out, and that's why I posted so many Eddie's tribute a little bit.
Sure.
Bits and pieces. So we had, Running with the Devil, the Eruption thing, to be ready, but I didn't stop that. I just had to do something more.
It's a tragic thing.
But
it's an unfortunate conversation. I mean, it's such a dark topic, but our heroes are all getting older, and it's unfortunately the circle of life. I don't like it at all, frankly.
Yeah.
But all right.
Do I have the right address up there?
He will remain our hearts and our fingers, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, your fingers, my fingers, no, not so much. I can't do that stuff.
No,
it just sort of hangs there as sort of a display. It's for when you come over, Toshi. You got to play that thing right there. Yeah.
All right.
Some of us have Eddie talent, and some of us are smashing our face in the mic like David Lee Roth, you know.
So exactly. I can hit myself in the face with a mic stand. Yeah. I can do that.
I actually was there when he did that on
were
the
you?
Kimmel Show. Yeah. I was there. Yeah, I was. I actually walked past them in the green room because I was with the Kelly Clarkson band. Mm-hmm. And we got in. We passed through. I rubbed shoulders with him, but I was too nervous to say hi to anybody. Then we went out the side of the stage and watched that show, and within 45 seconds, David had spun his mic into his face, and they had to stop the show because he was bleeding all over.
Oh, my God.
Remember, Eddie had to keep improvise while...
Yeah, they kept playing for about... Yeah, yeah.
Really?
That's when David Lee Roth forgot that it was live. Yeah.
We're gonna
do this over again, folks. It's like, we're live, Dave, we're live.
Yeah, they just kept vamping. And Dave left the stage and he came back with a band-aid on his nose.
Yeah. Nothing says rock and roll like a big band-aid. Yeah.
You can find all the after Dave had to get attended to, and Eddie, like you said, Toshi, he just started to play a bunch of cool stuff, right? Yeah, but you can find that on YouTube. It's pretty awesome. It's just like Eddie standing there on stage and a bunch of people like, okay, I'm just going to play for you guys now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Totally.
30 years ago, he just would have kept going. But
yeah, totally.
you saw Dave kind of like spin his mic, and then you knew something happened, and then it started to trickle down, and you saw him wipe it away, and he was still trying to stay in it, and then he's like, okay, it's too bad. I have to actually leave and get some attention to this wound. And
that's
but he came back.
He came back.
He come back.
And it was legend, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah,
and that would be not long after. I don't think they played much after that.
Well, I think
Yeah, I don't know what they would have done. They aired a few, but that was about it. So.
Pretty much.
Well, on that note, we want to thank you for coming and hanging with us, and it's been a blast. Do I have the right address up at the bottom of the screen? Is that where people want to go if they want to check out more?
That's it.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
All of those things that we were talking about, you guys go check that out. And it's been a blast. Anything you guys want to leave on?
Thanks, Toshi.
Thank you very much for having me. And hopefully maybe play with you guys someday, you know.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you in person would be nice someday once this is all behind us, you know.
When's the Van Halen thing coming out?
We're not sure.
Probably in a couple of weeks.
Great.
I've got all the footage now, so, and the music is all done. The great mix, Shane.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a couple of weeks. We'll
figure out what we're going to do.
Well, you'll see it there. You go visit that Facebook page, I'm sure we'll be letting everybody know. So, thanks for hanging out. Always got the one angry face. Again, we're 5 weeks in a row now. This one guy, we've got a stalker, and that's awesome. So we always got the angry.
What's he angry about?
I don't know. Gordy, show yourself. I don't know. I mean,
that's the most Canadian name there is, Gordy.
It is.
Exactly.
We didn't talk enough about hockey or something.
No, it just means that we've got a stalker, and that's great. You know, you've made it. We've made it.
Just because I didn't know a Wolverine was a Canadian animal.
That's probably it. I don't know.
I've never seen a Wolverine. Have you guys seen Wolverines ever in Canada?
On TV?
They're way up north.
They're way up there.
Yellowknife.
Yeah. But actually, that was something we should have asked. Toshi, you were sitting and watching that. I mean, how many of those questions earlier would you have gotten correct in regards to Canadian Jeopardy? Did you know any of the answers?
Oh, are you talking about the Jeopardy thing?
Yeah, did you know any of those answers?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to let you go.
That's fair.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, Shane got one wrong, and he's from here. So, I mean, you know, it's...
There you go,
You know...
Actually, and Corey got one wrong, too, on a technicality, but...
Half right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, good show, guys. We'll be back here next Tuesday. keep tuning in. And if you like the show, keep sending those stars, and we'll keep bringing the stars. So
I like it. Whoa, yeah. Hey, catchphrase.
It's like my Ron McLean moment here. Okay, guys, we'll see you next Tuesday, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Toshi. Thanks, Toshi. Yeah.